Well, for those of you who have been tracking with us, we're in the middle of a series called Heroes, and you may or may not realize we're taking this from Hebrews chapter 11, and you know, when I was younger and back in Bible school and all of that and training to be a pastor, you know, I remember hearing the first time, oh, Hebrews chapter 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, and I thought that was so cool and new and fresh, and it's been around for a while, but it really is our Faith Hall of Fame. It's a chapter that just tells some really cool stories, just little snippets, little highlights of stories. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 23, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But we're looking at this idea that these men and women were kind of like our heroes. I talked last week that, you know, as you mature, as grow older, probably who or what you determined as a hero when you were a kid probably changes a little bit as you get older. At least it did in my life, and it needed to, because my heroes in my teenage years aren't necessarily the kind of people that maybe should be heroes, you know, for a slightly older gentleman as well. But heroes come in all shapes and sizes. They come and they show up at different times in life. Heroes hang in there, right? Heroes, they overcome. Heroes stick with it, sort of, if you like, in the thick and thin. Heroes are not made in the great times. Heroes truly are made in those challenging, hard seasons. They have a resolve to see something through, and we look around and we see it, and we kind of go, wow, that's really amazing. And if herodom is done right, shall I say, it's something that we can aspire to. It's something that we see and we recognize and we go, well, that's not just them, but that could be me too. Why? Because of what we sang earlier, our faithful God, who walks with us and who is with us through thick and thin. Hebrews 11, let's just remind ourselves of the story of Moses. 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Now, Moses, we probably all have some recollection of this story, whether it's through the reading of Scripture or whether it's through our great Disney flick, right? Or depending on your era, maybe it's the Paul Newman flick. Some of you are like, who's Paul Newman? Oh, that's so sad. Or maybe it's the Christian Bale version, right? Like there's been lots of energy, lots of writing, lots of stories, lots of movies about this epic story of the Egyptian and Hebrew saga and oppression. We find the story in Exodus, second book of the Bible. And what we find about this story and what we understand is that you might remember Joseph as well, another great story, great movies, and all of those things. And Joseph had brought his family, right? There's the big famine, and they settled into Egypt. And everything was wonderful. Everything was going great. The Egyptians had provided for so many people throughout the land. It was truly remarkable, historic blessing of a nation to other nations. However, the king changed, the Pharaoh changed, the leader, the person at the top changed, and everything else changed. See, what was happening was that the Israelites were growing in number incredibly. All kind, you know, they're just having babies and all kinds of, you know, these the Israelites were growing, and the Hebrew, the Egyptians were getting nervous. See, they were noticing that all of a sudden they were getting outnumbered. And so this new, you know, person in charge, the new Pharaoh, the new leader, all of a sudden got nervous because his little kingdom, which wasn't that little, was now, he felt, was getting threatened. So he put out an edict. Firstborn males of every Israelite family should be put to death. And that's why we have Moses, who is hidden. And Moses was born to Jochebed, hidden in the Nile River, and then, as we discover and probably again know, was raised in Pharaoh's household, and he had privilege and all that came with that. I mean, he had everything. He had education. He had all the toys, all the bells, all the whistles, all of the servants. He was entitled. He had it all. It was all there for him. Now, as Moses' story carried on, Moses was getting the idea and understanding that actually God had called him to something greater than just being someone born in a very unique way in a house and having his life saved and being able to grow up in this place of privilege. He was to lead his people. His people. He had a people. He recognized, he realized that the Egyptians were not his people. And so he visited his people. He had heard and sort of, you know, heard the grumblings and all those things about how this oppressive work that was taking place and how that new leader had just leaped all kinds of pain and suffering in the midst of the labor that they were doing, the Israelites. He'd heard the complaining and the grumbling, and he came and he witnessed it, and to experience was something that was overwhelming to him. And as he was there and he saw one of his people, one of the Israelites being mistreated, it says that he looked to his left and then he looked to his right. He was kind of looking around and seeing if anyone would see, and he killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. Don't know if he thought this was what he was being called to do. Is this what it was? Or was this just plain a step outside of what he thought God was calling him, and just an anger response? We don't know exactly, but for sure what we do know is that Moses took matters into his own hands and killed the Egyptian. It's important for us to remember that part. That's not the highlight of Moses' highlight reel. That would be the low light. But it's important for us to remember, we saw it last week in the life of Cain and Abel. Do you remember that? God came to Cain after Cain had brought his sacrifice and Abel's was accepted, Cain's wasn't. Cain was ripped, just ticked off, downcast, right? Like just grumpy, mad. And God came to him and offered him a second chance. Cain, what's going on? See, as always, our God creates a second chance, equal opportunity space for everybody. Even Moses, a murderer. And we need to let that settle on us a bit. Now listen, there are consequences for our actions and choices, and they can and should at times be incredibly significant. And yet, God is not sort of stumped by that, stopped by that, stymied by that. He's not just completely repulsed by that. Yes, the action, that would have broken God's heart, but God still sees a soul in that person. He wasn't done with Moses. We see it time and time and again in Scripture. Peter, New Testament. Remember, denied Jesus when Jesus was going to his death? I mean, what a critical time in the story of God, where Jesus is going to his death, and Peter denies even knowing him at all and wants nothing to do with him and felt the shame of that. Yet Jesus comes along to him and restores him and gives him an opportunity. It defied really his actions. The mercy of God. You have the Samaritan woman. I mean, come on, she was on her fifth guy, and Jesus comes along. Would we write her off? Jesus didn't. What about Paul? Again, I wonder how much we really consider what God really did there. This guy was having Christians murdered and killed. And yet God reached him. We heard about Rahab just a few weeks ago. These stories sometimes we read and they kind of get sanitized and kind of propped up. And yet there's real tragedy there. Real human life was lost. Moses, in anger, took someone's life. But God came along and offered him a second chance. This next little section is kind of the mature content of this sermon. It's for people who are either serious about growing or are just tired of their life as it is. And when I say the mature content, there's nothing sort of PG about it. But what I'm saying is are we willing, are we interested, are we up for this idea of truly growing and maturing? Like, there's got to be more. Now, Moses does this awful deed. He feels called by God, does this awful deed, and at 40, all of a sudden, he just heads into the wilderness. And there's all kinds of stuff that happens for him in the wilderness. He finds a wife, and he's got a father-in-law, and he's got children, and he's got all kinds of things. For about 40 years, Moses is in the wilderness. And what I want to say about the wilderness is the wilderness is always a season for growth. It's always an opportunity for growth. It's not easy, and it's not what we might first choose. But sometimes the wilderness chooses us, both sometimes by our own choices. Moses certainly made a significant choice and found himself in the wilderness. Now, one of the things that you and I probably could acknowledge right now is that we know that if we have two people can go through the exact same circumstance or situation, and it can be really hard and it can be really challenging. And one of them sort of seems like they're able to get through it, and not only just get through it, but almost like be better for it. And then there's others who can face the same circumstance, the same situations, and you can see it just not be the same. And it can be real devastating. And the interesting thing about the two circumstances is that it probably truly was devastating. And so it's not like it's this big shot against the people who don't seem to maybe come out of it better, but it's actually a miracle of what God really can do to come out better. And how God can work in someone's life. And so life can serve us up these wilderness experiences, if you like. Sometimes our own personal choices can kind of put us into some wilderness kind of experiences, darkness. And yet it can be fertile soil for the growing. I mentioned last week, James chapter 1 is one of those sets of verses that I can still remember reading as a high schooler that I just didn't like. And it was this whole idea that these trials and these hardships and all these things are good for you. I'm like, that sounds like eating, liver and I don't know, Brussels sprouts or, all of these things. I didn't want that as a teenager. And And truthfully, although I love Brussels sprouts now, I don't always want the trials. And yet what I do know is that character, maturity can truly come in the midst of those trials, that God can bring out good of all things when we allow him to do some work on us. That in the wilderness, that if we can learn to develop a trust of him, our God who is faithful, who does bring us mercies new every morning. That song was just so powerful that we sang just a few minutes ago. In the wilderness, we can begin to learn things about contentment that we wouldn't necessarily learn in the great times. We can learn things about loss versus blessing. We can begin to learn the difference between joy and happiness. I mean, all of these things are a part of the human experience. But in the wilderness, God can do some amazing work in our lives, and God did some amazing work in Moses' life. And in the wilderness, we're called, and I would challenge myself and challenge you, could we learn to be still in life and know that he is God? Like, to be able to listen. I know we talk about prayer and sometimes we'll challenge ourselves. In prayer, we need to learn to maybe talk a little less and actually learn to listen to God. Could we do that? Would you be willing to do that? Could you sort of just sit down and is it possible you've thrown some steak and some good marinade this summer? Could we do that? Could we sort of flop ourselves down into the presence of God and allow the Spirit of God to do a work in us in the midst of the wilderness, in the midst of those things that we just would never have chosen? Or maybe, as I said, you find yourself in the wilderness because of some of those choices. I'm just here to tell you that God is not finished yet. He still has things for you. It's amazing. He is so faithful, so merciful, so gracious. You see, faith is about seeing things differently and no longer seeing them through the human lens. I love what Brian Zahn had to say to this. Brian Zahn, again, for those of you who've been around for a little while, he's the gentleman who taught the prayer school, and a few of us as staff were able to go down, and Pastor Steve has shared that with us a couple times in messages. And Brian Zahn had this to say about faith. He said, faith is an orientation of one's soul toward God. Faith is an orientation of one's soul toward God. And you see, this is what we start to see in Moses' life. He felt the call. He heard the call. He went, and then he exercised his own call. Ended up in the wilderness for 40 years, kind of bouncing around through Midian. But what we start to understand and start to see is that God is starting to become greater in his own life. His orientation is becoming more and more towards God, his soul. Scripture talks about this idea that we're no longer conformed to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Paul said this, he no longer views people the same. Why? Because of what Christ was doing in his life. And you see, maturity and growing to becoming like God should change those things. This idea of faith being an orientation of one's soul towards God is that it's a choice. It's something that we do. It's in a moment we do it, but it's something that grows and becomes greater and stronger day in and day out as we move towards him. Scripture talks about taking every thought captive and passing it through the grid of Jesus. Seeking Jesus first. Living life, seeing life more for his glory than for your glory. And as we do that, as we learn to orient our soul, like our inner being, to God, God begins to shape and to mold us. And this is taking place in Moses' life. By faith, Moses chose a different kingdom. It says that he just chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the entitlement that he had, rather than to enjoy all the pleasures, all the things that, you know what, in a lot of ways, don't we strive for? And yet he had it all. And he realized that's not where it's at. He chose a different kingdom. God's kingdom. It's interesting, as you go through the story, you may remember that all of a sudden, you know, he's saying, okay, God, because there's this burning bush moment, right? Like this bush that never gets consumed. Now, you know what? That was a crazy story a lot of years ago, but a lot of us have those crazy things in our backyard now, don't we? Little propane fire pits, and they never seem to get consumed. What's going on? That is not the miracle that Moses saw. Moses saw a bush that was not consumed. And when he saw that, he was taken aback. And God spoke to him and said, Moses, I need you to lead my people out of Egypt. And he's like, not me. That's my brother's job. Did you ever do that, by the way? I had one brother. He was older, smarter. Yeah, it's true. Did you defer? Like, no. That's Kent's job. That's Kent's deal. That's its own, right? It's nice to have a scapegoat. And Moses said, no, God, you don't have this quite right. That's Aaron's job. God was like, okay, cool. The two of you, let's go. And Moses was probably like, no. I said that's Aaron's job. And he goes, no. You're going together. He was debating, and yet he was learning to surrender his will. He was learning to orient his soul towards God. Not what he necessarily wanted, but what God wanted. God used Moses to confront a nation, to confront a leader. I mean, it's an absolutely crazy story. And he used Moses to deliver that nation. By faith, he found the courage not to fear, the emperor, the Pharaoh, the leader. By faith, courage, not his own strength, but God's strength. And so I look at Moses' life and I ask this legitimately. What was it about Moses that makes him different than you and I? I think probably the biggest difference was that you haven't killed anybody, have you? Probably not. And yet God still used him. Like, could God have used Moses if he hadn't killed that guy? I'm just voting yes. I'm thinking he could. So that's not our excuse. You see, the difference maker in this story is God. The vehicle in order to sort of deliver all of this, the power of this story, is someone who is willing to live by faith and to entrust their life, to walk in ways that God was calling him to that he didn't necessarily first want to. Do you see that in the story? I mean, that's why we keep hearing it. By faith he did this, by faith he did that, by faith. Why? Because the first initial response was more about him and his choice and his way. And so today, You get to choose. See, because faith is a choice. But really, it's more like it's a series of choices made day in and day out. And so this morning, we're going to just take a few minutes to celebrate communion. We're reminded that Jesus, like Moses, like Jesus went through a wilderness experience numerous times. One of the incredibly challenging experiences for Jesus was in the garden. Do you remember what he said there? Father, if there is any other way, could you take me through that way? And he said, yet not my will, but your will be done. And so I don't know, you know, what God is calling you to today. I don't know what experience you're in right now, whether you feel like you're in the wilderness or whether you feel like you've kind of got through the Red Sea. Remember the end of the story? They got through the Red Sea, they were delivered, and it was like, woohoo! I don't know where you are. I just know that no matter where you are, your best choice is by faith to choose God. To choose His way. I remember hearing years ago that one of the beautiful things about our God is that we're always just one decision away from His presence. Because He never leaves our presence. But sometimes we make choices and we kind of turn our back on Him through our choices. And yet all we need to do is humbly turn and repent and surrender once again to Him.